Opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure.
The heavens, no man, no weapon formed against. Yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh,
good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know this voice already. It's Levin Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. Other than listening to me, because they say we have to factor that in all the time. Other than doing that, because you don't get paid for doing that. Whatever it is that you do, I'm happy that you're doing that, and that you have decided to do that, with me. It's a Friday evening. Bim. The people, them tired of working. But, all right. So we made it. Hallelujah. It's Friday. And you know, I've been doing this thing every Friday for the last, I think, is it now, five Fridays. We're talking about the orange economy. Why? Because, you know, people like to use buzzwords. Orange economy, blue economy, green economy, pink economy, white economy. You know, and the truth of the matter is, 90% of us have no clue what the hell these things mean when we hear them, right? So there are some people that are actively engaged and involved in media and the creation of media and the creation of content and the creation of consumable visual art, consumable written art, consumable audio art. And you have to consider what it is, what does it look like, how do we get it done, how do we create this thing so that it's a real thing, right? So that politicians can stop picking up brownie points for using buzzwords that nobody knows what does it mean. So what does the guy say in in the song? What does that even mean? Nobody knows what it means, but it's provocative, right? And so I'm trying to see if throughout the month of December, all right, here's what the plan was. Wednesday and Friday, I want to bring people in that are involved in the arts and culture so that they can tell us about their struggles. Of course, I can now deem her a subject matter expert, my subject matter expert in the area of social influencing, and media generation, content generation. LaToya Hannah Moxie is here with me again. LaToya, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, that's perfect. How's your Friday?
It's
very
Friday.
Friday-ish.
Yeah, I know. It's very Monday-ish,
yeah.
Actually.
Really? Oh, yeah. Okay, so you were here with me the last time, and I want to talk more specifically today about your TV show, right?
Okay.
So you have the TV show. It's a seat at the table, right? And there are people out there that I know that have brilliant ideas, that want to generate their own content, that want to make themselves a whole lot more visible, that want to create a product, right? And so all things that are created begin in the mind.
True.
When you consider conceptually doing television, right, outside of having a face that people want to look at.
Except today.
Because that's very important, right? It's very important to have a face that people don't mind looking at.
Agreed.
Not all of us have a face that belong on TV, right? And other than that, other than considering that, what are some of the things that people must consider when they begin to conceptualize visual content generation?
Well, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about...
Well, not you. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the first question.
Right, right.
What will you engage people about? Is your subject matter something of interest, mm-hmm. something of importance, something of relevance? Mm-hmm. Is it a comedic nature that already has a following? Mm-hmm. Have you done research studies? Are you the only person or entity like it? Mm-hmm. What is the demand for it? Is there a need for it?
Okay.
There are certain questions that people have to ask themselves before jumping in front of a mic or a video camera.
But I think Donald Trump proved to the entire world that if you do one of anything long enough, you will create a followership. So much so that people will go and take over Capitol Hill for you.
I think that he's a rare commodity. Commodity.
Okay.
I think that he, well, for liberals, and this is definitely, I'm in uncharted territories okay. here. I don't really dabble into politics. But for liberals, I think for him, it was comedic nature. Mm-hmm. They loved the fact that he helped their ratings.
Yeah.
There was always something to talk about.
Yeah.
So that was easy
right.
for him. And right. he knew that.
Right.
Understanding that as long as you have a listening ear or viewing eye, mm-hmm. you have that's your starting point.
Okay.
But so he was smart in understanding that he had an audience. And so he played up on the narrative of being him times 10.
Okay.
And it worked for
him. So there are people, right? I'll tell you what I found, right? For instance, people say to me all the time, oh my God, Levin, you're hilarious. You really should do stand-up comedy. And I keep telling these people, I'm not hilarious at all. I don't know why you people are laughing. I'm actually telling you what I really think.
I think you know why they're laughing.
But these aren't jokes. I'm just really telling you what
well,
I thought.
Well, I think the undertone in a lot of things that you say is comedic, and I think you know that. I think you may have there may be some sarcasm and a level of satire used, mm-hmm. but I think even when it's based on facts, maybe that is the style that mm-hmm. you have. Mm-hmm. It's perceived mm-hmm. as funny to some, mm-hmm. serious content to you, mm-hmm. but it's not really what it is to you. It's how it's received by your audience.
Because I seriously like Blood on the Ground, and there's no time that Blood on the Ground that it ain't serious.
Well, there are some things that you've said that I'm not sure. Like, I mean, I know you, so
right.
of course I know in the context that things are said. Mm-hmm. So I know when something is said that's serious, but that still comes off funny, and
yeah.
then I know when something is intended to be funny. But your audience may not understand, so I get it.
Mm. The point I make, though, is I think people that are going to generate content have got to decide something in their mind, right? Like, you cannot be pushed into content.
No.
You cannot, because you'll be like the other rest of these people around here that are calling themselves comedians that aren't funny. And it's because they're not funny. They're only funny to their three cousins, right? And they should never have been
That's
doing
me.
This thing. Yeah, right. And so how important is it to actually chart a course, plan out the course, and content design what it is that you want to do before you actually take the role of presenting yourself to the public and having the ability to stick with it, right? Because the mm-hmm. first 2, 3, 4 months...
Yeah, it's going to be hard.
And people can say, what is Gallus?
Or they're just a one-hit wonder because
yeah.
they didn't do the legwork mm-hmm. to see how difficult it is. Like, mm-hmm. getting into this arena is definitely challenging. People think that you just pick up a mic and you start talking and then you run with it. You have to be very realistic. There's mm-hmm. failure. That's the number one component to success.
Mm.
If you don't fail, you won't succeed.
Right.
That's rule number one.
Mm-hmm.
So be prepared to fail. Be prepared to experience the challenges. In creating the pitch deck that I did at the very beginning, I thought I had a winning product.
Right.
And I pitched it to several people for funding because that's the number one challenge
mm-hmm.
in creating these sorts of articles
mm-hmm.
and experiences for people to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
Funding is always a challenge. So when sourcing funding, you have to have a pitch deck that makes sense. If the person can't read on page one or slide one what your goal is, the objective of your show is, then you've already lost an opportunity. So making sure that you have a clear objective of what your show is and then an outline of what your goals are and where do you see your show going.
Mm-hmm.
Some people only focus as far as the pilot episode, or like I've seen some shows on social media, on even on television, where they started off in one concept,
mm-hmm.
and by the end of the season, it's a completely different show.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you lose traction, you lose your audience, you lose opportunity. And you lose relevance.
So what about people, right, that create content? Because I know some people like this. They create content, and really and truly, this is only good for them. Like in their head, this is a beautiful thing, right? And I find this not so much with visual artists, but with people that write, right? Mm. Like, they write this, and they think that this is magnificent brilliance.
We all do.
I don't know what this is. What I know is there isn't anything brilliant about it. How important is it as someone interested in creating content to have second pairs of eyes or third pairs of eyes with realistic voices that could say to you, Latoya, I have no clue what it is you're trying to do here, but I don't know, you should go to baking cakes or something. This is obviously TV shows aren't for you. Or somebody that says, no, you've got a pretty decent product. I think that,
I'm not
seeing. Right. So how important is that in the whole run up to, it's particularly in this new world where mm-hmm. we're all princesses and everybody's amazing and you're
there's no losers.
You.
There's no losers in
yeah,
anything.
We live in this new world now where everybody is magnificent. I mean, it's Jesus and then these people, right? No, it's so ridiculous. But living in that kind of world, in this kind of atmosphere, where it is not the norm to critique people anymore, right? Mm-hmm. Like I can't say what's happening with this makeup.
Yeah,
you
it's
got
very
on your
insensitive.
Hair. Yeah, just your lip and your eye don't match. I don't know what's happening. You look funny, right? I can't say that to you.
Are you
because,
really saying this to me?
No,
today?
because when I say it now, I'm the hating friend.
Yeah.
How important is it to have people around you that are brutally honest about what your content looks and sounds like?
I think it's extremely important because you are an influencer. Mm-hmm. You're influencing what people see, what they believe in, what they value, what they take in, and then eventually what they put back out.
Sure.
So it's extremely important to have a focus group. And this is one of the joys of creating pilots. So when you do a pilot episode, like what I did, my first show was a show on motherhood. Mm-hmm. And I had a roundtable discussion with different types of mothers. And I pitched it to Cable Mamas at the time. Mm-hmm. They actually own the rights to that show. So if you see it on TV all the time, it's mm-hmm. they enjoyed that pilot very much. Mm-hmm. But what I had a focus group that watched the pilot episode and gave their honest critique. And I'll be honest, it was hard at first. Mm-hmm. It was hard to accept the fact that
You're not amazing.
I was amazing. The A was missing. I was a something, but it wasn't amazing.
Right.
And so that was a hard pill to swallow, but it was a realistic pill that I needed because I had to go back to the drawing board and see where I needed to knock out the kinks. Even now in season 3, there's still so many kinks I need to knock out. Mm. There are things that I'm in control of and things that I'm not in control of because of funding.
Right.
And not just funding, production spaces, finding places to actually host the show. And that's, again, going back to conceptualizing your show, mm-hmm. putting it down. Where do you see your show being taped? Where do you see it being aired? Who do you see watching your show? What are your topics? So creating a focus group is extremely important because they not only proofread the content, mm-hmm. but they give you unbiased opinions and views. They're neutral territory on what you need to work on and what's successful. Mm. I even had radio talk shows. C-Note, my good friend C-Note, was one of the first persons that actually watched my show. Mm-hmm. And let's just say we were friends for like 3 weeks.
Okay.
Because from his point of view, again, someone in media would not necessarily pairs of eyes, but pairs of ears, mm-hmm. Was able to listen to the fodder and the banter, telling me things like, oh, maybe you're over talking some of the people, mm-hmm. or your voice is not clear. The questions that you asked didn't come off right, or you didn't ask challenging enough questions. Mm-hmm. It's really important to have those people behind you. So as you start to build your show and even by and large your brand, that you have a clear, definitive direction on where you're going. So people, that's the only way you build a following. Mm-hmm. They understand and they know and they like what you're putting out to them. Mm.
Now, you talked about spaces because that's a really, really interesting thing. I don't think a lot of people consider that when they consider content generation. Mm-hmm. Let me confess something now. I never take Zoom calls. Why? I live in a functional house. My house is functional. I don't have any non-functioning spaces.
Bathrooms?
No, that's a functional space. What I don't have is what my mommy have. Like, my mother has a white room.
A den. Yeah.
Yes, this is for Jesus. Only him sits in here.
Nope. Every mother before 1975.
Yeah, I don't have none of them kind of space in my house.
Yeah.
So if I take a Zoom call, I'm probably going to be in my car because it's the only place that's going to be quiet enough. And I really don't want you to see what inside my bedroom looks like, because that's the next most comfortable place in my house, right?
So here's the joy about Zoom. Mm-hmm. Zoom now offers virtual backgrounds.
Yeah,
so,
I don't know that either.
Well, no, it's not that easy. It's not that hard. Okay. So all you have, literally, they have backgrounds that can show you at the beach. They mm-hmm. can, you can even create a media wall, mm-hmm. like a little JPEG.
So I could be on a boat. I say, hey, I'm just showing this boat in Dubai.
No, or your logo. You can put your logo behind you. Mm-hmm. People don't have to know where you are. The trick is they're still developing it. So if you move your arm, you could look like an amputee. But you actually, they have created a virtual backgrounds that mm-hmm. you don't have to show people where you are at all. Mm-hmm. So that's the joys of advancing and advancement in technology.
I'm happy that they brought that out. I still will. Please do not Zoom call me. But yeah, I like phone calls. I'm an 80s baby. But the point I made to you is I look at people like the Rick Rosses of the world. Mm-hmm. And see, this is what I talk about when I talk about making the kind of collaborations to ensure that the orange economy is something that can actually work.
Yes.
Rick Ross actually bought one of the largest pieces of real estate in Miami mm-hmm. With the largest greenery in Miami.
Like, yeah.
The dude lives on a football stadium, right? Mm-hmm. But he bought it for the sole purpose of wanting to stage movies. Mm-hmm. They just shot Coming to America 2 at Rick Ross's house. Mm-hmm. And there are, you know, everybody now is clamoring at this idea of Airbnb. Airbnb is the new thing. It's like not an Nola cream in the 80s. Everyone wants it, right?
Or Ambi.
Yeah. So you could be an Ambi Bambi. But there are many homeowners in the Bahamas, some of them second homeowners, many of them with wonderful, brilliant pieces of real estate mm-hmm. That never consider, maybe I can have my house as a staging site. Maybe I can use my house as a staging site for small movie development. Maybe I have this
It's
wonderful...
happening.
Where? Who's doing it?
I actually just had a neighbor who their house was used in a music video.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm always asked for my place of residence to be...
See, this was happening in your house, nice.
in a music video, right. or something. Mm-hmm. There, it's happening. It's okay. Just not...
But is that in itself even a new genre of business and industry that Bahamian people are not really tapping into in any meaningful way?
I think they could tap into it in a bigger way, yes. There's a lot of things in the Bahamas that's not regulated, and that's mm-hmm. the problem. These things are happening. But the reason we don't know they're happening is because they aren't regulated.
Right.
So when you start to regulate things, then Bahamians get anxious. Mm-hmm. Because there are fees and taxes involved. And mm-hmm. who are you to tell me that I have to pay you for somebody to come to my house who I pay bills for? Mm-hmm. That's always the challenge. So regulating things in this country is a little bit hard because of the cultural norms that we've been conditioned to follow from we were in the womb. Mm-hmm. There's certain things we just won't get used to, but they're happening. Mm-hmm. I've seen so many music videos. I've seen photo shoots. I've seen talk shows. I've seen so many different sorts of media take place at people's residences, mm-hmm. restaurants, and even backyards.
Right.
It's happening.
Okay.
It's
all
happening.
Right. So maybe that's just something we need to kind of regulate up a little bit more.
we need to create an actual business out of it.
Right.
Now, again, going back to regulating, when you start BREA, Bahamas Real Estate Association, would get involved.
I was actually thinking more about the Bahamas Arts and... What are the Arts and Cultural Association? There's so many associations.
Yeah, there's quite a few. But that's the challenge. When we start to think about regulating things and making them and formalizing them, then you have to collaborate. Mm-hmm. And in collaborating, bringing different ministries together to cooperate and create the blueprint for it, is going to be a challenge because someone's going to think they should get the bulk share mm-hmm. of whatever, because, you know, let's be real, they're going to talk about fees and taxes from the very beginning.
Right.
So for them, from a financial standpoint, how much are we going to get? If you want to put us to work to regulate or formalize a concept that people can actually, the orange economy can grow and boom off of exposure in with Airbnbs, mm-hmm. How much are we getting out of it?
Yeah.
And so, but it's not impossible. It's just being able to connect the right dots.
And I think about it in the way that I think about, again, the people like the Meek Mills and those that come to the Bahamas quite often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe if there was like a registered property usage listing or something like that, they would probably do something ridiculously silly like, you have to go get a form from IRCA. Then you have to get a form from Inland Revenue. And
basically, just how you have to get your business license, it's probably going to be the same kind of...
Don't say the word business license. Well, I mean... It's a curse word right now for me.
Yeah, but see...
I want to pause this. Do you know that I got a business license that I applied for in July, that they approved on the 3rd or 4th of December, that I cannot use for business because most don't accept a business license that is expiring in 30 days.
In December.
And they issued me it in 30 days. And can I tell you that the people over there at Inland Revenue, thank you for helping me because it was like pulling the shark's back tooth. But literally, now I have a business license that's non-functional. If you knew that the business policies around this place was people don't do business with companies whose business licenses expire in 30 days, then why in the name of Holy Mother Mary, the Blessed Mother of Jesus, who is the Christ, did you not just write me a business license that expires in the next December? Wouldn't that be smart?
And you still have to pay the same fee?
I don't care what I have to pay. What I do not want to...
I'm just asking.
I want to have a functioning business
don't
license.
Don't eat me alive on the air.
I want to have a functioning business. It's not about the money at this point. It is about the document. If you give me the document, I would pay whatever you want. I would give you virgin blood if you desired it. Just give me a functioning document. That is a side note.
That is a question I'd like to know to add to your side note. My question for anyone that is listening
from Inland. I don't know virgin blood, by the way.
Well, anyone that is listening that is at Inland Revenue, I actually would like to know why all business licenses expire December of the same year
I think that's a Ministry of Finance thing.
Well, whoever can answer that question, I'd like to know, just because sometimes, let's just say you get your license, just how you register your car. To me, I would think that the same way you register your car would be the way you register your business license. So if you register it in March of 2021, it expires March of 2022. Mm. I don't know the answer to that. That's a good question to
I think it has something to do with, because if you remember underneath, this is completely sidebar now.
Clearly.
If you remember under the last administration when Michael Alkides was Minister of State for Finance, people like me never used to pay my business license until May, because that's when I needed it, right?
True.
And then they started penalizing us for it to ensure that we all did it in January, so that everyone does it on January 1st now. That happened.
It still doesn't make sense if it's supposed to be an annual business license. So if it's an annual business license, it's technically not annually. If I'm only using it for 7 or 8 months.
They mean January.
I think that's something that should be looked at.
You know, like how when they write legislation, they just put in the key of the legislation, annual, then the line, January.
But see, the thing is, that goes back to the growth of stimulating the orange economy too. Mm-hmm. It's things like that that actually matter for small business owners and especially creatives, because creatives are they're not as functioning on the financial aspect of business. They are creatives. That's their forte. Mm-hmm. And so having to already figure out how I'm going to make money and then sustain my business, and now I have to figure out how to keep my business with legal. Yeah. It's challenging. And I think that's where people in the orange economy meet a lot of closed doors because of the bureaucracies. Like, things like that shouldn't happen. If our government fiscal year ends in July, don't end December.
Right.
So if y'all could get until July, why can't us in the orange economy get until July if we did in July prior? I think it should be something that should be looked at amongst other things in the orange economy. If we are very serious about growing this economy that is fashioned after another country, we really have to look at it from the inside out. We have to look at it from ways that we are creating, developing, maintaining, and sustaining the orange people, the creatives.
And we have to consider them as businesses.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's the part we're missing out. We're looking at an orange only from the outside, and because it's orange and it's named orange and the color is orange, but do you realize that it's a fruit? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, we're missing out the most important part of it. Mm-hmm. And that there are pieces of it that if we don't have it and it ain't a whole fruit,
right,
we have to make sure we have the entire gamut of it to make it successful. And creative should not be held responsible for the business aspect of it, but they should be given tools, resources, and programs should be developed to assist and aid with that aspect of it. And I think that's what's missing.
Mm-hmm. Because I feel like the more the government of Bahamas talks about the ease of doing business, the only thing I've found or have discovered in their quest towards the ease of doing business is they making it a whole lot easier for me to not be able to stop cussing around this place. That's the only thing that's happening.
So you just need to go to church.
Yeah, you're dead right. But outside of that, Let's talk about people who get into the orange economy because they're creatively minded. Mm-hmm. They're savvy. They're witty. They're because not everybody could generate content. True. Some of y'all go be a secretary. Okay, that's what you need to go do. Don't feel any weight about it. Secretaries make really good.
Especially so what are you suggesting? Like a coalition to tell you you're good or not? Like
maybe there needs to be like an assessment kind of something. I'm not really sure what it would look like. I haven't thought about it enough. But all of y'all ain't content generators. Let me tell you that right now. You're not an influencer. You, my dear, are a banker.
I mean, it needs to be said.
You are a banker, and you are to stay in that bank until 3 o'clock and not ever leave, right? Don't record anything. Don't write anything. Just type the bank people things and take the bank people money. That's it.
Try it. Don't let him discourage you. If you're out there and you want to do, try it.
And this is the problem I have with some people that think they is preachers. You are not preachers, right? Stop doing this. Go back to your pastor church and be a good evangelist or something. All of us cannot be content creators. All of us cannot have apostolic fire.
I agree with that statement.
Okay. All right. And once you discover it, stop trying to force it. It ain't for you.
But how do you know that you have not discovered it? That's the thing. A lot of people don't realize. Like I said, I've seen shows. I mean, from my...
Are you telling me that people don't know?
I can only speak for me. Like, I've had the gift of gab since I was a kid. Like, mm-hmm. I did plays, whether it was in church and school. I've always been involved in music and the arts. I was an introverted kid, mm-hmm. but the minute I became an adult, it was like a light switch went off and I found my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I still don't really like engaging that much, but right. when I find a group of people or an audience that I like, I'm most me. Mm-hmm. And I've been able to capitalize off of that. I use that gift of gab, mm-hmm. the gift of making people laugh, the gift of not being necessarily a center of attention, but being able to gain your attention. Mm-hmm. And I've been able to use it to my advantage. Now, some people don't have that, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they can't learn it. And that's a part of how we can also grow the orange economy. Mm. There's always ways to teach people something.
Really?
Everything that you know is a learned behavior.
Agreed.
So you may not be the best at it, but you may not be the worst at it. And you got to just work on your craft.
When does it stop being a hobby, though? Because, like, you know, here's the thing.
If it don't make you money, it's a hobby.
Hmm.
Let's be clear about that. Mm. Nothing successful makes you money overnight.
Okay.
You're going to be in a deficit before you be in a surplus.
Okay.
There's a lot of realistic things that you have to be aware of when you start to get into this industry. You're not going to be rich overnight.
Right.
Unless you're Jay-Z and Beyonce and at Bamboo Shack on the line and they find you. Like, it's just not going to happen for you that way.
Right.
You know, so you have to be realistic and mindful that no matter how much hard work and dedication, the sleepless nights you put in, it's not going it's going to take time.
I get that.
And so even with it taking time, having it take time with your skill set and everything that you know, the same applies to someone who is not there yet. It doesn't necessarily mean you need to press the play button. Mm-hmm. Maybe you need to press the playback button.
Right. And build more content.
Yes. Keep creating mock scenarios. Mm-hmm. Challenge yourself. Create that focus group. Get in front of an audience. Get the opinions, the feedback. That's what's needed. Mm-hmm. And then when you create a product and a service that is believable, you'll know because people will start talking about it. Mm. That's the best form of advertising. When people start talking about what you're doing, that's when you know you're doing something right.
Mm. Okay, so let's also talk about this. There are people that are going to move into this orange economy, and the orange economy looks a lot different from what we know to be the black and white world.
Well, let's backtrack and tell people what the orange economy is, because
okay, sure.
we are under the impression that a lot of people, you started the show by saying people don't know what it is. So
we just do like politicians do?
No, we have to, if you're going to talk about a subject, you have to tell people
sure.
what the subject matter
is.
So for a lot of people that are watching for the first time, I know we touched on it last week, but the orange economy is a term that has been coined by another country, Colombia. Mm-hmm. The president of Colombia, I believe it was, coined the phrase or the term orange economy. But it is another phrase for the creative economy.
Mm-hmm.
And in the creative economy, there are different colors. There's colors of the rainbow. There's
right.
the silver, the green, the blue, the black. There's a lot of economies out there.
Right.
But the economy that has been battling for presence, economic, financial presence, validity is the orange economy.
Mm-hmm.
Creatives. So you're talking about in our country, we're talking about culture mainly.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about things like junk canoe, the straw workers, the straw vendors. You're talking about in the hospitality world, gastronomy, culinary arts. We're talking about anyone that writes books, that paint, that creates sculptures. So the artsy world, mm-hmm. to put it short. And how can we grow that? How can we facilitate that? How can we make it a business for our country, not only to put our country on the map, but to put these people on the map? Mm-hmm. How can we create more awareness of what we're doing culturally as a people, meaning from our children all the way up to adulthood? How are we creating and blooming and fostering the orange economy, the creative economy, to grow to be as successful or close to that of our number one industry, which is tourism?
Right.
And so the Prime Minister has come up with this concept of putting together a grouping of people to help stimulate the orange economy. Mm-hmm. And he's used a lot of creatives to make this happen. Mm-hmm. I'm not that familiar of who all is on the committee from the financial side, mm-hmm. but I know there are a lot of creatives that were added to a subcommittee to make this happen. But in diversifying our economies, it's going to be really challenging because tourism is our number one industry.
Okay.
And it makes up, I think, roughly between 40 to 50% of our GDP.
Okay.
And then second to that is banking.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that is fishery. And so fishing is like 2.1%, like nothing. Mm. And it's weird because we're an island surrounded by water. We can't swim. We can't sail. We can't dive.
Get out of there.
It's hard. It's the kids. Yeah. The older, if you old school, yeah, you can do it. But the kids,
Average person under 40 cannot take a conch out of a shell.
The average person under 40 probably can't swim.
Okay. Just so we put it in the context.
So I say all that to say diversifying our economy where creatives actually get a seat at the table is going to be a real feat.
No, and that is what I want to go to, because we live in a what I like to call an interesting hyper-Euro, semi-Afro, partially American subculture, right?
Our own diaspora.
Right. And it is because we believe in political correctness and politeness,
mm-hmm.
but we want to be strong and dominant, like the black spirit of mm-hmm. of Pompeii. But we also want to still be fashionably correct and not as rigid in our theories as the British people would have us to be, or like our aunties and uncles that have British accents would like us to be, right? Well, not none of my aunties and uncles, but I mean your auntie and uncles. The point I make to you is people that are operating or functioning in the orange economy look different. They sound different. They just wear shades in the nighttime. Apparently, in order to be artistic, you have to be able to
have to be different.
20/20 vision at nighttime with G20 glasses on, and you have to be able to drive a car while you're doing it. I don't understand what that is about.
You're generalizing, but okay. But or you're targeting someone in particular.
But if you're going to be artistic, you need to have this superpower. You need to be able to see at nighttime with very dark shades on, no matter how low the lighting is.
I don't wear dark shades at night.
No?
But I do wear yellow suits in the day.
And so there's the people with the orange hair. And the dreadlocks. I met a girl over the Christmas. Was it the Christmas? Over the summer, mm-hmm. who had aqua hair.
Yeah.
And she says, "I paint." And I thought to myself, "That's kind of weird. You kind of freaked me out when I first saw you." But the fact of the matter is, she has aquamarine locks as a symbol of her behaviorness, right? It's mm-hmm. still pretty weird to look at because you got this dusty brown
skin. You're just not
skin.
Used to seeing it, that's all.
And that's my point. And so as we move to the orange economy,
mm-hmm.
right? And if she's out there listening, I thought the aqua was delightful. That's what I told her. I still think that.
Okay.
It took a little bit of adjusting. But as we move to the orange economy, as Bahamians become more in tune with their artistic side and become greater artisans and become more popular for their art, they will look and sound different, right? And how does that fit in? Because the business side of it is still going to be pretty conventional.
Yeah.
Right? Like when you walk into the bank mm-hmm. is looking for a guy in a suit, even if he borrowed it. Mm-hmm. When you go to pitch the business plan with whomever you go to pitch the business plan with, they're looking for... So how important is it to maintain that artistic edge, but still be gray enough to do the business? Let's talk about it on the next side of Breaker.
Okay.
All right, don't go anywhere. I've got LaToya Hannah Moxie here with me. She's smarter than me, y'all. That's why I call her. I'm Levin Miller. This is Guardian Radio. Don't move. We'll be back.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises its customers that the corporation will close at 2 p.m. today, Friday, December 10th, 2021, at all locations for a year-end meeting. Customers wishing to make payments may visit the corporation's website or pay by phone by dialing 302-5630 or visit their local bank or any Cash & Go, Omni Flash Cash, or Sun Cash locations. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused.
It's happening, and it's all straight talk with no chaser. And Stephen Miller is unleashed on your radio each weekday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's going to be smart talk, ideas, and innovation. Each weekday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., only on Guardian Radio, your station for fresh news and smart talk. Trust me, you're not going to want to miss this.
At Fidelity, the holidays are all about family, spending time with loved ones, and being thankful for the little things in life. Worrying about bills should be the last thing on your mind, especially during the holidays. Let Fidelity help you get your bills under control. Fidelity can also get you started with a real savings plan that actually pays you interest. The only thing you need to think about is what you will do with the savings in your pocket this Christmas. Now that's what I'm talking about. Fidelity Bank is here for you this holiday season because you are family, and family is important to us.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back. Thank you so much for staying with me. I'm Levin Miller. It's Guardian Radio. That means I'm unleashed on your radio, and that means it's somewhere between 11 and 12 o'clock. Latoya Hannah Moxie is here with me. The phone lines are open. You know, y'all could call us 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. It's Christmas time, y'all. Don't raise up my pressure talking about things that are not the things that I'm talking about on this show today. Let's not do that. Jesus is about to be born in Bethlehem, and I want, for his sake and my sake, for us to maintain good decency, law, and order here today. All right? So 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. You can call me on those. You can text me on 422-4796. This one here says, yes, Levin, you know exactly what you'd be saying, having everyone squawking. Listen, these ain't jokes. I don't be joking, you know.
Yes, they are.
I don't be joking.
They're serious jokes.
Very serious. I even ain't sure why y'all laughing. This year says, Levin, to this day, I still remember you talking about the fresh school boy who was always eyeing right up. And his name is Cadero Miller.
Okay.
I went to school with a boy named Cadero Miller. I don't know how he used to do it. He used to press his clothes, go to school the whole day, and these clothes don't have a single crinkle in it. Like, they can't fall on him. He used to walk with his bike like this the whole day. I'm telling you, this is amazing. You have to see it. It's unbelievable. That is his name. We used to call him Smokey Double O in school. Yeah, but he was immaculately dressed. All 7 of the years I went to school with him.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how he did it. I don't know what he ironed these clothes with. I go home, I make my mommy buy me a brand new iron and a box of starch. And my clothes still don't look like this.
That's because you have to take it to the cleaners.
No, he used to iron these things himself.
Well, I hope he was dry cleaner.
If he did nothing else with his life, he should have become a professional ironer.
A professional, well, maybe he owns a dry cleaning company now.
Yeah. I don't know. I want him to do it home. Whatever that was he was doing home, that was special. This year says, great show as usual. I'm super sure there's nothing funny about how we can't play over and under this year at Christmas. But just go in the ghetto. It's very simple. The ghetto fixes all things. This one here says, great show as usual. Do a Zoom call and do a virtual background like you and Cheetahs. This here says, the comment about auntie and uncle with the British accent took me out, bro. That's true. You ever notice that most people who are like 65, 66 all have British accents? They kind of just taper through sometimes.
Pre-independent people.
Yeah. So they say things like, excuse me.
Arlington
Butler.
Rest his soul.
Yeah, they all have.
He was the best.
He, the Bostwick, Mr. Bostwick.
Yes, and Mrs.
Very, very pronounced British accent.
Sir Orville.
Yeah. Let's take a phone call. Good morning, Collie. You're on. Collie, you there?
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Fine. I just can throw you off just a little bit, not much.
Okay.
With the carnival, let me ask, you think that all of those individuals, you think that's the reason, were they vaccinated or they show proof that they were vaccinated?
I wonder. I don't know. I don't know. I would have to check. I would have to check it for you. I'm not really sure. So if I check it, I'd be able to know. Okay, let's go back to you. Tell me a bit about tell us about your show. Because, you know, I don't want people listening to the radio saying, this girl on this radio talking all kind of things, what she does do? Because you know us,
yeah.
Right? We are Negroes. And Negroes are typically Negroes wherever you find them, right? And the one thing a Negro always got to do is tell you about how you ain't doing nothing.
Well, I mean,
typical Negro behavior.
I mean, I've been a part of the orange economy before it was a color. Ooh. So, I mean, it's not a clapback or anything, but there's several things that I do and have done and probably will do to solidify, my space in the orange economy. I'm a creative first and foremost. My degree is in international business with a focus in marketing. So I've always had the marketing and PR umbrella, and I've worked in the hospitality industry for 15 years before moving into healthcare marketing and then slowly becoming an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. But I was a chandler for 10 years, which is a candle maker.
Okay.
There were bigger companies like Sundrop and MyOcean that dominated that industry. But then I was one of the small business owners that kind of kicked down the door for other chandlers in the country. Mm-hmm. And now I've seen about 6 or 7 names that have grown since I started my brand.
I remember that used to be the Maven Candle Company. I remember that.
So that has been, I've had the journey of being able to grow a business as a creative. Mm-hmm. And then Minka Swimwear, I actually, which was a very successful business and it's still active, where I actually did Miami Fashion Week.
Okay.
I provided swimsuits for the Miss Bahamas contestants. Mm-hmm. I have collaborated with Miss Florida. For the Miss Universe pageant.
Hold on now. We have to make sure we get these titles correct. Because colloquially, we know one Miss Florida.
Okay, no. So
Florida. Only y'all broke girls.
No.
I've been to Florida.
Not that Miss Florida.
Okay, good.
But
you know, I call her Solomon Grundy.
Okay.
Yeah, her whole life happened in 1 week. that's Solomon Grundy.
Interesting.
Yeah, it did. You remember, she became famous, got the endorsement, went to jail, got out of jail, and cried on TV. It was all in one week.
I remember
that. Solomon Grundy.
She's like the Gorilla Goo Girl.
Yeah.
But she was successful in creating a brand, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And then in creating Minka Swimwear, which is my swimwear company where I design swimwear, I didn't make them, but I designed them. Unfortunately, we don't have a textiles industry in the country, so you can't have anyone manufacture them here, but I designed them here. And that I was able to spin that off into carnival bodywear.
Right.
And so I've designed for 3 years for Bahamas Masquerader. Big ups to the Masqueraders crew. But I've designed pieces for Bahamas Masquerader for the Masqueraders for the last 3 years, bespoke pieces and customized pieces. And then because, like I said, I've always been in marketing and public relations and communications, I launched a talk show and I'm in my third season. So I've been a creative for a very long time and I can speak to a lot of the things because I've experienced them. Mm-hmm. Some of the things that I've done, I've been self-taught, and some of them I actually have certifications for. Mm-hmm. So that would make me, I guess, a valid voice in some of the things that we talk about. Mm-hmm. And that would make me one of the representatives who would like to benefit from the sustainability of the orange economy because it affects me. And by and large, even affects my children because my daughter is studying architecture. So when she comes home, she will be a part of the orange economy.
Okay.
So there's a lot of things that me personally, I learn. I at least make it my priority to understand if I'm going to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. So I think that. So if anybody that doesn't think.
She could build jungle costumes. She could build like 3-dimensional.
She can build a frame. Yeah. Well, that's not going to be her genre, but she would be able to design and construct structures for costumes. Yeah. Mainly for buildings, but for costumes. Yeah.
Because you just have to transfer the knowledge to the material.
Yeah. And then they all use 3D
all
technology now anyways.
Yeah,
just sitting in front of a computer and build it.
What is it? Timber, steel, brick, and mortar, basically. All construction is the same
thing. Pretty much. Hands and brains.
Yeah. Okay, so tell us a bit about A Seat at the Table so that people know how to find it, what to do, where to look for it. What is it about? What is this week about?
Well, this week we're on a hiatus because we were supposed to have the season finale this week, but I decided, because Sunday's show was so provocative and so well-received, that we're going to milk this show a little bit longer.
Okay.
People are still talking about Sunday's show.
So you're having a rebroadcast.
Yeah, we're doing a rebroadcast. Well, I wouldn't say it's a rebroadcast, because once it's on YouTube, you can watch it anytime.
Okay.
But we did a live right before Sunday's show. I had Roxy Starr, hey, Roxy, if you're listening, on IG Live, and I had to do the live after dark because the show was, it's called Let's Talk About Sex. Mm-hmm. And if anyone is not aware of my show talks about all things female. Things that you wouldn't necessarily, when people look at me, they don't know what's about to come up my mouth. Mm-hmm. So when they do, they're like, huh?
Mm. I just want to point out that I just want to point out that the show is about women, and that they was talking about sex. And so, did you see that these bunch of decent save man around here? We ain't thinking about this kind of stuff. We just busy working and providing for families and that kind of thing. And sex is kind of the last thing on our minds. Go
right, on. But so I mean, the show all season we wanted to just take it up a notch, and so we talked about a lot of the things that we didn't get an opportunity to talk about in season two. Season two was a very serious season. Mm-hmm. Like, we talked about gender equality. We talked about transgenderism. We talked about sexual harassment in the workplace. And then we did end on a high note. We had some female leaders of the current government that we had. I had a one-on-one with Leslie Miller Bryce.
Okay.
And that was a great show. So this season, we wanted to make it more lighthearted. We do have some serious topics, but we wanted to talk about what women go through in our homes, and not just in our physical homes, but emotionally. Like, we did discuss mental health awareness. We talked about breast cancer awareness. And then we started talking about what it's like. Like, there's so many things, me as a wife and a mom, that I wish my mom told me before getting married, before having kids. And now that my kids are a lot older now, I'm almost an empty nester. I'm like, well, geez, I'm looking back and I'm like, why ain't you tell me these things?
I should have had two more babies.
I didn't say that. I'm just saying, like, I wish I knew so many more things. And so I use the opportunity to have conversations with women who share the same sentiments.
Okay.
And then when we talk about sex, like, even saying that word, that three-letter word, is like, when you say it out loud in public, people are looking at you like, oh, you disgust me.
It's like getting you're vulgar. On your back.
Yeah, like, you're vulgar. Yeah. Like, how can you utter those words? You're supposed to be demure. You're supposed to be classy. You're supposed to be all these things. And how do you think we got here?
Yeah, because big Christians just make little Christians, and they just use sex.
When one Bible joined the next, then the third Bible comes. Yeah,
we were in the upper room, all in the same place, on one accord, and then the baby, and then the little Christian gave.
So I had Bodine, who everybody knows, the artist. I had Roxy Starr on. I had Royanne Ambrister, who is a socialite of sorts on the island. And I had Danielle Gibbs from Couples Paradise, who owns an adult store. Mm-hmm. And she brought some toys and some props on. And we talked about these toys and props. And we talked about, I don't know if I could say it in daytime television, but we talked about the M word and how you...
Masturbation?
You could say it on daytime radio and television?
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, we talked about masturbation. We talked about orgasms. We talked about a lot of things, like the statistics of women that have not experienced an orgasm in their entire adult life was mind-blowing to me. Mm-hmm. This conversation, I'm so happy it happened because it took me out of my comfort zone. There's certain things, like, I know my parents are listening. Mommy, daddy, just air
muffs. We've never, ever had...
Like, you can't say certain things and have these conversations in front of your parents. Mm-hmm. So that's why I wanted to have that conversation. My parents had me 40-plus years ago. Mm-hmm. Why is it that we can't talk about that?
No, you know,
it's like cussing in front of your parents. Yeah. That's a taboo. It's like drinking alcohol in front of your parents. Yeah. That's a taboo. So I wanted to have conversations with women who felt the same way so we could address these taboos. Mm-hmm. And so the season finale is happening next Sunday. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be the one and only opportunity. And Levin is on it, so you guys are going to see him in real time. There's only two men, so they're outnumbered this time. But this is the only time you'll see men on the show giving their opinions for it to matter. Because the show is about opinions that wouldn't matter. Not having men's opinions matter.
Right.
But the season finale, every season we have men come on and share their thoughts and opinions on what we talked about. So you and Jerome Sawyer will be outnumbered at the season finale. And it airs next Sunday at 3 p.m. on YouTube. And you just look up ASATT on YouTube and you'll see all of the episodes.
Yeah. Listen, I could be there, y'all. So y'all make sure.
It's fun. It was fun. It was a good time. We didn't have enough time.
As a matter of fact, I wasn't sure we should be having that much fun on a set. On a set
and on a Sunday.
Yeah. I wasn't sure we should. That much fun. Okay. So one last thing before we go, marketability of your orange product. We've got about a minute.
Mm-hmm.
How is the challenge with that?
So going back to what the government's mandate has been, their mandate has been to stimulate the economy. Mm-hmm. And funding is always a challenge for any artist, for any creative, for anyone in the Orange community, and in the Orange economy. And what I've realized is that they're slowly building platforms to aid in on the financial sector. A lot of creatives are not good with business plans. Mm-hmm. And one of the first things that some place like Access Accelerator is asking you for is a business plan. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for a lot of creatives to even know what is supposed to be in a business plan. Yeah. One thing I've noticed, I think I saw an ad where they're looking for someone who can actually help you with building a business mm-hmm. plan or creating one. So that's a good start.
Yeah.
Having the government create programs and opportunities for us to get grants. I saw where Colombia was doing something where they have, instead of the government having these big conglomerates come and bid on building highways and roads, build on Orange bonds. So what you can do is bid. It's an auction mm-hmm. where you can bid on giving me a jewelry maker mm-hmm. a loan. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that is mm-hmm. encouraging to us, supporting us, being able to help us with copywriting, right. especially as artists, helping right. us to that intellectual property aspect, yeah. making sure that's protected, giving us spaces where we can either be paid more, be seen more, and our stories are shared and heard more. And that's what we need more from the government, and right. that's what we're missing.
Sounds good to me. Anyway, she's smarter than me. That's why I bring her here. Her name is Latoya Hannah Moxie. A Seat at the Table. It's on YouTube at 3 o'clock next week. I on there, y'all. Check that out.
A-S-A-T-T.
It's big time talk. I'm telling you that. Anyway, that's my time. It's Friday. You know I say it every Friday. Let me stop, though. I got to say this before I go. Today is my Gaudi's birthday. Gaudi Rhea.
Happy birthday, Gaudi Rhea.
Happy birthday. She turned 60, I think, again for the third time. And we're going to let her have it. Don't let nobody kill you. But more, no. Don't kill nobody. More important than that, don't let nobody kill you.
True.
And if you do that, I'll see you back here on Monday. I'm Leva Miller. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Your station for fresh news, smart talk. Don't move the news that happens now.
That was a good one.
Yeah.